A note to the listener. The following story contains some adult content and language. What's in a name? Let's try something. Say or think of the name of the last person you saw. Now, did you imagine the letters that make up their name, or did you imagine them? Them, right? And if you stay with that image of them, your mind will fill in even more details about that person. Just from a word. Just from their name. There are so few names involved in the Angel of Vine case, so little information, that the circumstances leading to the death of Marlene Marie Evans required some level of imagination that the cops either didn't have or didn't care enough to employ. Hank Briggs' use of his imagination just got him a new name. Ciro's. Granted, it was the name of a nightclub, but a name no one else had associated with this case. And what's in this particular name is an entirely unexplored world which Hank Briggs was about to enter.
From Vox Populi and the Los Angeles Herald, this is The Angel of Vine.
These are snippets of the recordings from Hank's stakeout of Ciro's. It's thorough, not so much informatively, but thorough in sheer volume. Four separate tapes for a total of 14 recorded hours over what I think was roughly 8 or 9 days. My best guess just based on his mention of the daytime food deliveries. And yes, I have listened to all of it. He sat in his car on the corner of Sunset Boulevard and Olive Drive, observing that place and talking to himself for 8 or 9 days. Ciro's being the spectacle that it was almost every night, Hank thought it would be easier to hop the velvet rope of the daytime door.
Hey, excuse me. Hey, pal, you run this place?
Yeah, I'm lugging around crates of salmon because I run this place. Hey, Anton, nah, that one's got to go in the cooler.
Is the manager around?
Come on, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, buddy.
I didn't catch your name.
That's because I didn't throw you one.
Listen, pal, it's daylight. I'm not here to make a mess.
Yeah, people call me Tiny.
While you're stepping over them or before?
What's that?
Jesus. Nothing. Listen, Tiny, maybe you can help me.
Yeah, with what?
Somebody used to work here.
I'm not going to be much help there. I'm back of house. Not even back of the house. I'm more like under the house. Honestly, I'm usually gone by the time most of the staff arrive.
You don't see anyone coming or going?
Now, look, I do my job so I can be on my way. Simple as that.
It's a sound philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah, because people mistake me for a philosopher all the time. We done here?
And who do I need to speak to? Who's in charge of hiring?
Now, you're pretty persistent for not wanting a mess. Who's asking?
Labor union.
Labor union? What are you, some sort of commie? Get out of here, you clown.
Clown? I'm asking you a question.
Hey,
I'm being really nice to you, and I don't have to be. I don't have a lot of patience. I'm not patient. Drives my wife nuts.
Hey, relax, buddy. It was a joke.
Nah, I don't think it was. Look, I'm not trying to inconvenience you. I'm just here to find someone who might be able to help me do my job so that I can be on my way.
Ask for Alistair. He's the manager. He comes in around noon. But you didn't get his name from me because I don't need any trouble.
You can tell him I was looking for him.
I said I don't need any trouble.
Hank has no direct contact with anyone named Alistair within the 14 hours of tape. Of the people he sees entering and exiting Ciro's, Hank takes a few guesses at who might be Alistair, but there are no conversations with any other male employees. The only other time Hank left the confines of his car were to question a couple of the female employees. And for whatever reason, his favorite cover seemed to be labor union leader Hank Briggs.
She was with a baseball player. That made sense. But now she's with a writer. A normal person with a woman like that. I wouldn't even have the courage to say hi. No way. When Piggy asks her to dance, she says, "I would enjoy to dance." Gets me every time I think about it. Fly on the wall. Who am I kidding? There's no flies in there. Oh, there we are, ladies. Just who I wanted to talk to.
Excuse me, ladies. I'm really sorry to bother you.
Hello.
I don't think you're sorry.
I'm assuming you both work here, is that correct?
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Would you mind if I ask you some questions? I'm with Local 47. I'm Hank Briggs.
Diane Mosley.
Late for work.
Would you stop it?
What do you ladies do here?
I work coat check.
Cigarette girl.
Don't they have machines now?
Hey, easy there. You trying to get me canned?
So, what's Local 47?
Musicians Union.
Oh, is this about Barnaby's hand?
Barnaby?
The piano player.
Obviously, it isn't. What's your question, Hank Briggs, was it? We gotta get inside.
Did either of you know Marlene Marie Evans?
Never heard of her.
Never.
We gotta go, Diane.
How could you never have heard of her?
Don't know her.
Reggie? We got a green.
Son of a bitch. Whoa, hey, I'm not a creep.
Listen. You want to get tossed on the sunset?
Just had a few questions.
You can't be back here, sir. This is private property.
All right, I'm going.
Hank didn't believe the cigarette girl, and he was right not to. But he was wrong when he said he didn't have patience. Hank Briggs had enough patience to spend an entire week scouring the paper for baseball scores while washing down Cracker Jacks with black coffee until the right moment arrived for him to have a real conversation with Diane Mosley, the coat check girl.
Night, girls. Catch up with you later.
Diane. Oh. It's okay.
You startled me. You shouldn't do that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. Hank Briggs.
Yeah, I remember you. You mind if we walk?
No, not at all. Cigarette?
No, thank you.
Did you know Marlene?
Yes. But not well. You know, she was real nice. And so polite. Always a please and thank you, no matter what.
Were you too close?
Well, I mean, we didn't socialize outside of work more than a few times, if that's what you mean.
Any particular reason?
I don't know. I don't think so. She was certainly a lot more outgoing than I am.
How's that?
She was real good on the floor, you know? Never hovering, not trying to be noticed. It was just like she belonged with the stars, you know? She was so relaxed. I mean, relaxed around James Dean. I mean, are you kidding me? Nice he came in, I couldn't even look at him. I get too nervous. No, I like my little enclave away from it all.
Did you know if anyone else was close with her?
You're not really a musician, are you?
Why did you pretend not to know her?
Look, we were told not to mention that she ever worked at the club. It would have shut us down.
Why?
Look, I can't afford to lose my job, Mr. Briggs.
I promise you, you're not going to. That's not why I'm here.
They didn't want to chance anyone looking at the books, okay? There are no books. They pay us in cash. And since Marlene had already quit the club when it happened...
Wait. She wasn't working here when she was killed?
No. She was only working the privates.
Privates? What's that?
I don't know. That's what she called them.
Were these privates arranged through the club?
No.
Well, who then?
I don't know.
Well, did she work with anyone else? Diane, I'm not a cop. I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble here. I promise that you and that giant bouncer you got at the front door will never, ever see me again. I just need a name. Please.
Fish.
Fish?
Fish.
That's what I thought you said.
He runs a club called The Battle. It's way down on Central. Marlene asked me if I wanted to make some good money working for him. Like 3 to 4 times what I make here in a night. Like I said, I'm not real outgoing, so I said no. Look, please do not tell anybody I told you all of this.
Diane, there's no need for me to talk to anyone. I got what I needed. Can I help you get somewhere?
No. Thank you.
In its heyday, the historic Central Avenue Jazz Corridor, or the Avenue, as it was called, was where everybody wanted to be when the sun went down in Los Angeles. Wild nights of drink, dance, and authentic live jazz unlike any you might ever hear again. Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, Billie Holiday, Art Tatum, Lionel Hampton, Charlie Parker, Lena Horne, these were just some of the musicians you might see on any given night. And if not performing, chances are you could catch a glimpse of one of them amidst the crowd at Club Alabama, The Last Word, The Downbeat, or in the lobby of where they all stayed, the famed Dunbar Hotel. It was the West Coast's Harlem Renaissance, and it had everyone's attention, including the cops. Like any other area in Los Angeles at that time, Central Avenue had its seedy reputation for drugs, gambling, and prostitution. And it's known that gangsters like Mickey Cohen would hide away in the clubs that he was rumored to have invested in, either from the cops or from hits placed on him by other gangsters. The Battle was a lesser-known venue than the others and opened just at the tail end of this booming era. It was a smaller club, so it wouldn't have been as easy to blend in. So, for a few nights, Hank carefully assumed the role of barfly.
Thank you very much. You're too kind.
I haven't heard the name Fish once since I've been here. I got 3 viable contenders, though. Each one of them real slick, good with the crowd, attentive.
This will be our last song. We are the Edgar Steele's Trio. Don't forget to tip your bartenders.
That's last call, buddy.
Yeah, why not? I'll take one more. Still on.
Here you go.
Thanks. Keep the change.
This seat taken?
All yours, pal. You made it just in time. Drink up fast, though.
Good point. I was gonna say the same thing to you.
Just taking my time.
Unless you're gonna sit here another night talking to yourself.
Can I help you with something?
Uncanny. There you go, taking the words right out of my mouth again. Why don't we cut the chit-chat? What you want?
What makes you think
that... 2 nights ago, you asked a trumpet player by the name of Ellis if this was Fish's joint.
Fish.
Frank, hand me that bottle and 2 glasses.
You got it.
Why don't we head to my office and talk about whatever the hell it is got you looking so skittish? I'll be in the back if Ray needs me, huh? It's been a long time since a white man came asking for me.
What are you playing at? I see plenty of white people in here.
Oh, them? No, they're customers. They're down here slumming to get a taste of a real experience. You? I got no idea why you here. But I do know I clocked you the second you walked in. You don't exactly scream, jazz man. Sit your ass down. You hear about Shepard's money?
No.
Good. Am I gonna need this?
No.
Good. Long as we square on that. what you want.
Where was Marlene Marie Evans working the night she was murdered?
Well, shit. You just came out and said it just like that. You ain't messing around, are you?
I know that she worked for you doing privates, whatever the hell that is.
Privates? What kind of foolish nonsense is that?
What did she do for you?
Look, I had a lot of girls who worked for me. I don't keep track of them all.
Sure, I get it. A businessman like you does tons of deals. Definitely too busy to remember every single person he hires in my class.
You're pretty spot on.
And the Angel of Vine was well over a year ago, right?
Easily.
Right. Except that it was the Angel of Vine. Girl being ripped open in a parking lot's the kind of thing people tend to remember. Especially when they're partly responsible.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, hey. I didn't have nothing to do with that girl getting killed. She signed up to work those parties through one of my other girls. I only ever met her when she came down here to get paid.
Oh, okay, good. So she did work for you. Thank you for being honest.
Damn it.
Now, what parties?
You know, just private parties, that was all. All these fancy-ass people in their big houses. The ones who have their drivers bring them down here to take a peek at how we live. Just like those people out there tonight. They want the life, but on their turf, you know what I'm saying? I supply two things, musicians and girls.
Prostitution?
Oh, hell no. I look like Jelly Roll to you. As far as I was concerned, they were having drinks and tiny-ass food on silver platters with important Hollywood people. Whatever they did after them parties, I didn't ask. None of my damn business, still isn't. Shit. When that girl turned up dead, all of that stopped. The people who hired me stopped calling. Not you here. Why?
I need to know where she was that night.
We did a party at Leonard Shaw's that week.
Leonard Shaw? Is it Classic Studios Leonard Shaw?
Most of the parties were for Leonard Shaw. You're a movie mogul. What the hell else you gonna do with all that money? You got what you need. Because I'm tired as all hell, and I'm certainly not going to get any more sober sitting here talking with your ass.
This was huge. The fact that Marlene was working at a party before she was killed opened up new possibilities for a number of potential witnesses, as well as potential suspects. All Hank needed was a guest list. From one of the most powerful and inaccessible people in all of Hollywood.
All I can say is I'm glad he's paying.
Good afternoon, sir. How may I help you?
I'm supposed to be meeting someone here? Erwin Fogelman?
Yes, he's in the new room, right this way.
New room.
A quick reminder. Erwin Fogelman was the director who had hired Hank and then recommended him to Samuel Tench.
Hank Briggs.
Musso's, huh? I didn't think they were going to let me in.
Ah, it's good to see you, Hank.
I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, Erwin.
Are you kidding? You're the reason I still have a busy schedule. Come on. I already ordered us the double tenderloin. Here, get a drink. Let me get the waiter.
Nah. It's okay. Water's fine.
Hey, you know I'm footing the bill, right? Yeah? Suit yourself. So, to what do I owe this honor?
What can you tell me about Leonard Shaw?
He's a prick. Sadist. Yeah? He's mean just for the sake of being mean. Gets his kicks humiliating people.
I'm working on a case and his name came up. He threw a lot of parties at his house?
He threw parties on that estate every weekend.
How many people, you think?
How many people I think? Everyone! I used to say, if you want to keep your stars, then you gotta keep them full of champagne. Oh, what a prick.
Any way you'd be able to track down, I don't know, a guest list?
Well, me? Oh, no. No, God, no. I mean, Leo hates me almost as much as he hates being called Leo. Took absolute pleasure in firing me. He and I haven't spoken in at least 3, maybe 4 years. He swore to destroy my career. Yeah, that's all right. All right, it's not the first. Probably won't be the last.
The double tenderloin for you, gentlemen. Please be careful. The plate is very hot.
Mm. Another one of these, please. Hank, come on, please. Start eating.
What happened with you two?
Did you ever see my picture, Divided, before the fall?
I'm afraid I didn't. Wife and I don't get out much.
It's rhetorical, Hank. I never made it.
Pardon?
Leo gave me $6 million to shoot this epic production in Utah, which turned into a disaster. Everybody was getting violently ill. It was hotter than Hades. We had actors passing out in their costumes, right? Makeup running into the actress's eyes. Then we had a week of torrential rain and flash flooding in the basin that served as the majority of our location. Well, we had to pack up and return to the studio. I got it done, but there wasn't much to brag about. Downright disaster. Ended up costing Leo another couple million to shelve it so as not to affect the studio's reputation.
I couldn't get you in front of Leonard Shaw. If you showed up with $8 million and an apology letter written on gold leaf in my own blood. But I can get you on the lot.
That'll do, Irwin.
Great. I'll set it up with my girl. She'll have you hand deliver a script or something. Hey, who knows? Maybe you can finagle your way into his cold black heart. Yeah, prick.
As the very next tape begins, Hank is already on the lot. I don't know how he did it, but he did.
Testing, testing. Okay, let's find out a little bit about you, Mr. Shaw. Here goes.
May I help you?
Just here to drop off this script.
No, sir, you can't just...
Oh, no, no need to get up. I can just hand it right to her.
In there. I'm sorry, he just...
Holy shit.
Should I call security?
You're Adler Harrison.
Adler, should I call security?
No.
Not if you want to keep your job, you won't. I don't think Leonard Shaw would be too happy to know that just any random stranger could get into his office.
All right, just calm down. That won't be necessary, Imogen. Just close the door and go back to work.
Yes, Adler.
And just like that, Hank Briggs was face to face with the only person suspected of killing the Angel of Vine.
The Angel of Vine is a podcast produced by Vox Populi on behalf of the Los Angeles Herald.
Thank you for listening to The Angel of Vine. If you'd like to support us, please leave us a review and tell your friends to subscribe. The Angel of Vine is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and all major podcast apps. If you can't wait for the next episode of The Angel of Vine, Episode 5 is available right now exclusively on Stitcher Premium, as well as Angel of Vine bonus episodes, extended episodes, and ad-free episodes. Go to stitcherpremium.com/angel and use promo code ANGEL to get your first month of Stitcher Premium free. The Angel of Vine is directed by E. Ryan Martz, written by Oliver Vaquer. Story by E. Ryan Martz, Jason Zumwalt, and Oliver Vaquer. Sound design by Joel Robbie and Kevin Duzablon. Produced by Vox Populi in association with Forever Dog Podcast Network. This episode's performances by Joe Manganello, Misha Collins, Kari Payton, Nolan North, Travis Willingham, Corey Walgren, Courtney Taylor, Eric Bauza, William Demerit, Imari Williams, Philip Mershon, Delaney Hillen, Cree Summer, and Oliver Vaquer. Angel Eyes is performed by Desi Dennis Dillon. Piano and arrangement by James Harper. Composed by Matt Dennis. Lyrics by Earl Brent.
From downtown Los Angeles, this has been The Angel of Vine. You'll hear more from us soon.
While I disappear.